If you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. We've been talking about sharing the gospel, and we're going to look the next couple weeks on how to turn a conversation into an opportunity to share the gospel. But before we can even get there, we need to kind of back up a little bit further and really ask ourselves, are we really walking in the Spirit, and are we really actually wanting the opportunity to share the gospel? I find it very easy for most of us, and myself especially, to talk about just about anything we want to with anyone. I mean, you can bring up politics with a friend. If they bring up politics, you'll change the subject to football because you want to talk about football. We find it very easy to talk about a sale down at Walmart. We talk about everything known to man, about the weather, about whatever it may be. We have no problem turning a conversation to talk about what we want to talk about. But then when it comes to talking about Jesus, it's as if it is moving heaven and earth to open that door. And I think a lot of that really goes into the preparation of our heart before the conversation ever takes place. Do we really want to talk about Jesus? We're going to be looking here at several passages of Scripture, but I really want to just kind of stop and really ask that question. Do we really, really want to talk about Jesus, or do we view it as a religious deed or a religious necessity or a religious chore that we have to do? One of the great dangers of Christianity is that we can move away from true Christianity and go back to dead religious works. We can move away from, I have been saved by grace through faith, and this is the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me, and now I want to tell everyone the most amazing thing that's ever happened to me. And we can go back to make God happy, I have to do stuff, so I better tell somebody about Jesus to check a box to make God happy. And I think many times the way evangelism has been taught, I think back to just my years growing up in church, many times it was a guilt motivation. Don't you love people? Don't you know they're going to burn in hell forever? And don't you know they're going to be screaming out, why didn't Daniel tell me about this? And that's the motivation that we get, is a very guilt motivation. So when we come to share the gospel with someone, we feel like I have to share the gospel with somebody today, or I have to because otherwise it's going to be on me. And it's a box that we have to check. And there really is no delight, no joy, and even no desire to share the gospel as much as there's a guilt motivation. And then when we actually go back to real, genuine Christianity, where we want to share the gospel with people because we love them, in many respects the only thing we've ever been taught is the guilt-motivated sharing the gospel with them. So how do I now share the gospel with someone that I love and want to see them saved? How do I bring that about? Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14. This is after Jesus' days of fasting. And it says this: Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region about, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. As his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." He closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus does what most of us would consider to be the hardest thing to do, and that is he goes back to his hometown. He goes back to where he grew up, to where his family still goes to synagogue. He goes to the synagogue, stands up, publicly reads from Isaiah in front of everybody that has known him since the day he was born, in front of all of his cousins, all of his family, all of his neighbors, reads Scripture, and then declares that he is the fulfillment of the Scripture, that he is the Messiah. How many of you are eager to go back to your family gathering, be it a family reunion, go back to your hometown, go back to the church you were raised in, and voluntarily step up in front of everyone, tell them about Jesus Christ and what he has done? We can think of a million other scenarios that we would rather do than to go back to our family, okay, the people who knew us when we were a kid, who knew what we did when we were a teenager, the people who known our life story, the people who watched us grow up. Who is the hardest person to share the gospel with? Your family. Now, in this passage of Scripture, there's several things. One, Jesus returns in the power of the Spirit. And what is the Scripture that he reads? He reads from Isaiah, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." For what purpose? To preach the gospel to the poor. What was it that enabled Jesus to go back to his hometown? What was it that enabled him to share the gospel? It was the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to look to share with somebody who is hurting, who is broken, someone who does not know the Lord, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. This is where, unfortunately, and we began here when we talked about sharing the gospel, we got to keep reminding ourselves of this. Most people think the reason someone is not a Christian is because they have a whole bunch of objections to our faith. And I've got to study and come up with all the answers. And when I have all the answers to every possible question, then they'll become a Christian. That is just categorically not true. The vast majority of people who are not Christians, it has very little to do with mental objections for which they have not received an answer. Most of the time, it has to do with spiritual or emotional objections because of the way a church treated them, because of some of the things Christians have said, some of the things Christians have done, from the, it just doesn't feel right, from, well, I can't believe in a God who would fill in the blank. And it's all, that's most people's objection. You're going to find that they will use questions of, well, you know, could God make a one-sided rock? Could God make a rock so big he couldn't lift? You'll find them with questions like this, but all that's trying to do is derail the conversation like the woman at the well. The woman at the well did not want to talk about her spiritual condition. She did not want to talk about her need of a Savior, so she came up with religious, theological objections to change the conversation. It is the Spirit of God that draws men to salvation, and as such, it is the Spirit of God that opens men's hearts. It is the Spirit of God that gives us boldness. It is the Spirit of God that draws people to salvation. If we believe this, then that means the greatest preparation to sharing the gospel has to be spiritual. That I have to follow the teachings of Jesus and be far more concerned with the beam in my own eye than the speck in someone else's. I have to be doing what it says in Ephesians and getting the spiritual armor on. I have to be watching out for my own life. I have to be watching out for the way I live my life. And I have to make sure that I am prayed up and that I am walking close with the Lord. The Holy Spirit is going to go before you, and the Holy Spirit is going to open doors. That's what he does. Jesus says, "No one can come unless the Spirit draw them." Okay? The Holy Spirit is drawing. There are open doors everywhere around you. The problem is that we are not in tune with the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's kind of the, have you ever been someplace where, with your spouse, and your spouse keeps trying to, like, tell you it's time to go, or, that type of thing?
Never happened.
Okay, and so they kind of do, like, they do this little, they kind of shake the head or whatever. If you're not paying attention to your spouse, though, you're going to miss all of the signals. And then you get in the car, and they're going to say, "What took you so long?" When you say, "What are you talking about?" "Well, I told you, like, 15 times we needed to go." The Spirit of God is working in people's life. Okay? He is. The issue, though, is that we so often aren't paying attention. We have made sharing the gospel not a part of our life. We have made it a chore that we do. And so, just like everything else, you know, I get up in the morning and I make my bed and brush my teeth. Okay, well, Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, that's when I share the gospel. Tuesday night, 6:30, I'm getting ready to get in my car, and my neighbor comes up and talks about how he's been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Sorry, bud, I'll talk to you about it tomorrow, but to now I got to go share the gospel. What? You just missed the opportunity to share with someone. There was the door that you needed to share with them of the love of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the hope we have in Him, the new life. We get so caught up, though, in that sharing the gospel is a task, it is a duty, it is not part of who we are. Okay? For us, and guys, we may do this when it comes to like, well, we don't share much about where we saw a big buck. We want somebody else to shoot it. So we kind of keep real quiet on this. But girls do this with us with sales, okay? Oh, I like your shirt. Oh, yeah, it's like 2 for 1 down at JCPenney's or whatever. I don't know. I don't shop. So, but that's what they do. Okay, they're not a salesperson that has to go and tell people and report to their boss, I told 15 people today about the sale. I passed out 17 flyers. Why do they do that? Because they are excited, okay? They like clothes, and they know other people like clothes, and they're excited about it. We as Christian people have forgiveness of sins, peace with God, a new life, overflowing joy, and it's a task to tell people? You see, most of the time when it comes to turning the conversation to spiritual things, the issue is not how to do, we don't know how to do it. The issue is we don't want to do it. Because we are not walking in the Spirit, we are not spiritually prepared, and it's a chore for us, not a delight for us. Okay? Very few people, and we got a whole bunch of coupons over there. If you want some coupons, the Gainesville Sun drops them off. If you like the coupon, they're over there. Otherwise, they're going to the dumpster. But we got a whole bunch of coupons over there, okay? For some people, I mean, they just love couponing. And they'll call their friends. Very few people get a sales flyer with coupons and go, oh no, I got to tell somebody about this week. Who am I going to tell? Okay, well, I guess I'll call them. And then, oh yes, they weren't home. I didn't have to broach that conversation with them. That's many times the way we view sharing the gospel. Okay? Now, notice in Acts 2. I want you to notice what takes place. We're going to look at the book of Acts. We're going to see the way the apostles share the gospel. And we're going to find that much of what we think of when it comes to sharing the gospel is in many respects absent from the New Testament. Okay? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues like as a fire to set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how do we hear every man in our own language wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our languages the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Peter stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known to you and hearken to my words. And then he goes in to talk about Jesus and sharing the gospel. Now, again, this is another remarkable thing because Peter denied Jesus just a few weeks ago. Jesus was executed by these very same people just a few weeks ago. And he's here in Jerusalem where Jesus was executed. And now he's going to stand up and say the very same things Jesus said. Okay? Facing execution. Facing rejection. Okay, again, these are his family members. These are his friends. These are his cousins. These are his co-workers. These are the people he's been around, the business associates, all of that. Again, what we would consider one of the most difficult places to share the gospel, Peter goes, stands on a street corner, and begins to preach the gospel among what we would call a hostile crowd who just recently killed Jesus. And he stands up and preaches. Now, why? How did this being brought about? Well, because he heard a preacher preach and he felt really guilty, and I got to do that because I haven't shared the gospel in a couple weeks. No, because he was filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God helps him to overcome fear, and the Spirit of God fills him with a love for Jesus and a love for God and a love for his countrymen, a love for his neighbors, and as Jesus taught, a love for his enemies. This is what enables him to share the gospel in a very difficult situation. I'll be honest with you, as we've talked about the whole time, if you do not love people, then you sharing the gospel is going to do more harm than it does good. Okay, why? Because you're just going to come across as a used car salesman who doesn't care about them. If you do not love the Lord, it's not going to do you any good either. We have to make sure that we are spiritually prepared, walking in the Spirit. Okay, how does Peter here turn the conversation to the gospel? He doesn't. Right? He just stands up and boldly proclaims it. Well, how do you know it's an open door? I mean, just to have family members come over for Christmas and you say, hey, I want to tell you about something. Right? Well, we do that about the football game. Right? Hey, did you see the game last night? Right? That's the way we do that about, did you see what Congress just passed this past week? We do this about everything else. We do this about what's in the news. We do this about sports. We do this about the weather. We do it about traffic. We have no problem opening a conversation about anything except Jesus. Jesus doesn't have that problem. Peter doesn't have that problem. Okay, turn over to Acts 17. Acts 17, verse 16. This is Paul at Athens. He's going to speak with the Greek philosophers. But how did that conversation begin? Acts 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred within him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. What was it that moved him to share the gospel? It was the Spirit of God. How did the Spirit of God move within him? He saw the sinfulness of the people in Athens. He saw their superstition. He saw all the false gods that they worshipped. And this bothered him. And so he stood up and went before a public forum to share the gospel. Notice this in Acts 18. Acts 18, verse 5. Now, when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. Right? What was it that moved him to do that? It was the Spirit of God. He was not sitting there going, okay, we're talking about cars now. How can I draw a connection between cars and Jesus? Okay? He's not doing that. He's not talking about, who's going to be the fourth team in the national championship? Okay, well, we're going to talk about that, and then I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to say that, and eventually I'm going to turn it to spiritual things. He doesn't do that. The Spirit of God works within him so that he is compelled to tell people that Jesus is the Messiah. When we talk about turning the conversation, we're going to look. I was going to this week, and I said, no, we got to kind of back up a little bit. If you read the Gospels and you read Acts, Jesus uses everything from the weather to people who are sick to the death of a loved one to natural disasters to political problems. You name it, he uses everything to share the gospel. Everything. It is not hard to turn any conversation about anything to spiritual things. I'm going to show you how Jesus does it and the apostles do it. But the issue is, are you in tune with the Spirit? Are you actually ready to share the gospel when that door is open? For most of us, the whole Christianity thing can become an accessory for the weekend. By the way, this is why what is called Christianity in our country is disappearing very quickly. I encourage you to read, I mentioned to several of y'all, article written by Tim Keller. He's a Presbyterian pastor up in New York City. And he wrote an article on how inherited faith is dying and chosen faith is not. People who are Christians because my grandma was, that doesn't happen anymore. People who, I go to church because that's what good people do, that doesn't happen anymore. That is disappearing very, very, very quickly, even in the South. It has disappeared even in the 10 years I've been here. We had people that would come because my grandmother came, but even those people, they don't even come anymore. But people are turning to Christ in record numbers. Why? Because what they are being confronted with is not a dead religion, not a this is what good people do, but the truth that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, that forgiveness of sins is found in him, and acceptance before God is found through faith in Jesus Christ. That you are free from dead religious works, and that you can be set free from your sins through faith in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, that message is still changing people. That message is still captivating people. The issue is that for most of us who were raised in church, we still have a mindset of the gospel, which is invite people to church, invite people to church. And when they say, I don't go to church, you go, why don't you go to church? That is the mindset. And then when we come to the gospel, we have a gospel presentation that by and large is not found in Scripture, because the way we were taught to share the gospel is we ask people, if you were to die right now, would you go to heaven or hell? By the way, Jesus and the apostles never shared the gospel that way. You can't find that anywhere. Now, do people who believe in Jesus go to heaven? Yes. Do people who reject Jesus go to hell? Yes. But in that, it's not a sales pitch. It's a love for God, and it's a love for the person. That you actually care about them. You see the damaging effects of sin in their life, and you actually love them enough to want to see them delivered from it. How many of you all have ever watched a loved one destroy their life through sin? What should move us? A love for them. How many of you have been changed by Jesus Christ? Why should we not want to tell people about that out of a love for him? Out of everything he's done. When Jesus begins to talk and teach, his teachings are about loving God and loving neighbor. Except when it comes to sharing the gospel, because in sharing the gospel, that's just a chore you're supposed to do. No. It is born out of a love for God. It is born out of a love for neighbor. And it's something that overflows out of the Spirit of God within us. That when we see someone, the Spirit of God... What is the first fruit of the Spirit, by the way? The Spirit of God moves within us not to condemn, but to have compassion on the person who is enslaved. That's what the Spirit of God does. So that I want to see them to find the deliverance, to find the joy, to find the peace with God that I have found because of Jesus. In that regards, it becomes much easier to share the gospel, and it becomes much easier to share and turn the conversation. When you view sharing the gospel as a chore that you have to do, you are going to never turn the conversation to the gospel. You're going to have a hard time doing it. You're going to find it difficult no matter what I teach you. But if you are overflowing with love for God for what he has done for you, and you are overflowing with a love for your neighbor, a love for your spouse, a love for your parents, a love for your child, a love for your coworker, that you actually love God and love them, then turning the conversation to spiritual things will be extremely easy. Do you see the difference there? One, I'm just teaching you a sales pitch. Okay? And some people are born salesmen and some people aren't. The gospel is not a sales pitch. The other is you are sharing a part of who you are. That is the gospel. You are sharing what God has done in your life. So when we talk about turning the conversation, you know what? Many times you're not going to have to. Many times it's going to be open and obvious. The thing is that we're oblivious to it because we view sharing the gospel not as a part of who we are. We're not walking in the Spirit. We view it as a chore that we have to do. Now, let me give you an example from my own life. And many of y'all could probably relate to this. If you had to, like me, preach this morning, okay, how much would you pray and study this week? How about this morning? Okay, how about if I told you like 6 months ago that you had to preach this morning? Man, you would be praying and you would be probably fasting and you would be looking at Scripture and all of those things. But if I told you, you don't have to preach this morning, I'll just check the box. Pray for my family, read a couple chapters. Yep. You're going to go to lunch with a coworker tomorrow, and you're going to expect to have an open door to share the gospel. Why aren't you preparing for it? The holidays are coming. You're going to have all of your lost cousins and uncles and aunts and everybody. You're going to be in their home. They're going to be in your home. You're going to see them. You're going to have all of those things. Why are you not preparing? Well, it's because we have a different view of the gospel. It's a sales pitch. It's not a sales pitch. It's not a mental thing where we get into arguments to try to prove that our religion's better than your religion. Okay, that's not Christianity. Christianity is the reality of a changed life that's been changed by Jesus Christ. And the evidence of that changed life is we love God and we love neighbor. And that will result in a natural sharing so long as I am walking in the Spirit. If I want to be effective, my preparation needs to be far more than reading apologetics books. My preparation needs to be of my soul. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This right here, by the way, is we think that the greatest hindrance to sharing the gospel is somebody's going to ask me some scientific question about the fossil Lucy and how that disproves the creation account. And we're going to go, oh, I need to study about the fossil Lucy and see how it's a hoax. That's the way we think. And so we spend all our time reading books. Okay? We spend all our time going, oh man, you need to share the gospel because you can answer all the hard questions about the inspiration of Scripture, which, by the way, Jesus was rarely ever asked about. Neither were the apostles. If you notice all the things that we want to study, the apostles never encountered, and neither did Jesus. Notice Ephesians 4. This is the greatest hindrance, by the way, especially here in the South. If you want to know why someone's not a Christian, here's why. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, that sexual lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. for we are members one of another. Be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. Rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that has need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That in and of itself is one of the greatest things you're ever going to find in turning the conversation to the gospel. And by the way, if you are an expert person at turning the conversation to the gospel, and you are a liar, and your coworkers know it, you're somebody that loses your temper all the time, you're someone that's always caught up in greed, listen, the objections that I have heard, okay, when you actually begin to talk to people, I'm talking to their heart, I'm talking actually you get to know someone, you befriend them, and you begin to talk to them, their objections to Christianity are not, I can't believe in a God who created the world. That's not their objection. Their objection is, so-and-so claims to be a Christian and he robbed me blind. I don't want what he has. Their objection is, why do I want what you want? You lie to every customer that comes through the doors. Why do I want what you want? You're always mad all the time. Okay? Why do I want what you want? You put your fist through the door. Why do I want what you want? You're always flirting with the secretary. Why do I want what you want? Okay? You're the one that's always making the lewd comments. Why do I want what you have? Okay, these are really truthfully, honestly, when you sit down with people and they begin to talk about the state of their soul, their objection to Christianity is the way Christians live. And it does not matter what you say if what you say does not match what you live. This is where the preparation of you sharing the gospel is your own walk with the Lord. So often, the open door you're going to have in sharing the gospel is people are going to say, I want what you have. I have had people come to me on job sites, right, because of the way I lived. Construction workers. When everybody else is away and it's just you and him alone working, then they want to talk about their problems. Then they want to talk about everything going on in their lives. You know, I've had in marriage counseling with people who are not saved. I've talked with them and I've tried to tell them, hey, the answer to your marital problems is Jesus Christ. You know what their answer was? I already tried that. Really? Yep, we went to the church, and the pastor was sleeping with seven different women in the church. Already tried it. Obviously didn't work for the preacher. No matter how... Now, if you're the preacher, by the way, why do you think they're asking me to do their marital counseling? Because they didn't want to talk to that preacher about it. Okay? He was not repentant. He continued to engage in it. Okay? You can go from there. They say, well, we tried this other church. The youth pastor was a drug dealer. Okay, when we begin to try to turn the conversation, right, so often we're not prepared. Okay, James talks about out of the same fountain coming corrupt water and pure water. He says it doesn't happen that way. It's either salt water or it's drinkable water. Yet so often, we tell a crude joke and then try to share the gospel right afterwards. It's not going to work that way. It's not. If we want to see people come to know the Lord, before we ever turn the conversation, we have to repent of our own sin. We have to put on the new man. Because when we're walking in the Spirit, just as Jesus was, and Peter was, and Paul was. I'll be honest with you, most of the time you don't have to make much of an effort to talk about spiritual things. And when you do, the door gets opened very quickly. Wesley?
I know in my own life, especially, I had an employee tell me one time, he said, you can't wear your emotions on your sleeve doing the job you're doing. And I took that to heart so much because a lot of times people don't care what you think, and they're ugly and nasty. And it's the same way. When you share your faith, you cannot wear your emotions and worry about getting yourself hurt all the time. We're too emotional. We get offended too easily and stuff. Mm-hmm. We've got to put that aside. I know I do. That's what I get to do in my life is quit worrying about somebody hurting my feelings. If I'm more concerned about their soul, you know, and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with them and quit worrying about myself so much, I would share the gospel a whole lot more than worrying about what it might do to me or how I might feel. I saw a family that I used to hunt with do this. And the scripture that says, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you, they can look past any heartache, any hurt, and they can still love. And they weren't Christians. Now, they were people that went to church sometimes. But they can look past anything, and they loved each other. That was such a... I felt so stupid because I looked at their family and I thought, man, I don't want my family to be like that. And they weren't even Christians. Mm-hmm. And they could love each other in the midst of they could fight. And then everything, they got past it after that. They didn't get all upset and, you know, and be mad at each other for a month. They got over it. If they had to talk about it, they talked about it, you know. And, you know, that's a lesson that I had to learn in my own family was, we've got to talk about hard things sometimes. Everything's got to be on the table. You know, if you come home with a bad attitude from work, you know who's wrong, as Mr. Larry says, is pride. And you got to get over that. Yep. When you use that harsh word at your spouse, you got to say, I'm sorry, that was me that did that. Yep. You know, and we're all so guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. And a lot of times it's just because we're too emotional. You know, you got to toughen up sometimes. I've got to toughen up and quit worrying about people offending me. You know, and be worried more about people's soul. And it's just, we're just too soft sometimes,
And,
you know?
And I will say in this, one of the mistakes that we make when it comes to sharing the gospel is that we try to give people the impression, I would really encourage you, please listen to lost people. Okay, we live in a vacuum chamber society where if you're a Democrat, you only listen to Democrats. If you're Republicans, you only listen to Republicans. And if you're a Baptist, you only listen to Baptists. Hey, if you really actually genuinely care about people, listen to them. One of the greatest misunderstandings about Christianity, and the reason it's a misunderstanding is because this is the way we portray things, is most non-Christians believe that what we believe is we're going to heaven because we're better than them. If you were to ask them, that's what they would think. That's what they'd say. Because that's the impression that we give. And this goes to what Wesley was saying. One of the greatest things you can do to advance the gospel is repent and apologize to people when you sin. When you do something wrong, admit it and make it right. We don't like to, but that is Christianity, by the way. Christianity is not we go to heaven because we're better than other people. Christianity is we go to heaven because of God's grace. And it's not because of what we've done. So we repent and we apologize and we make things right. And in all honesty, many times your sin, where you blew it, if you respond in repentance and reconciliation, you may find one of the greatest open doors to share the gospel you've ever found. But if you double down that I'm right, that I don't have anything to apologize for, then you just blew it out of the water. This is where we as Christian people, you're going to find open doors. It is not, just being honest with you, it is not very hard to turn conversations to share about the gospel. I do this all the time when somebody comes and buys a tool from me, or I'm selling on Craigslist, or I go buy a tool from them. If the conversation lasts more than 5 minutes, it is very easy to turn it to spiritual things. very easy. But if you are not ready spiritually, if you're in a huff, if you, you know, just flicked off somebody when you pulled in the driveway because they cut you off in traffic, you know what? That in and of itself is not, there is the problem. So in many respects, turning the conversation to spiritual things, if you're walking in the Spirit, is going to be so natural that somebody's going to say, how did you do that? And you're going to say, do what? If you were to walk up to Jesus and go, man, Jesus, what is the little catchphrase that you use to get people to talk about their souls? Jesus is going to look at you like you're crazy. So for me to sit down and say, okay, I'm going to teach you how to turn the conversation to spiritual things, you really can't. It's something that's natural because you're filled with the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit. It's something that's natural because you actually care about people. I mean, it's not a sales pitch. And many of y'all, I don't know if any of y'all have ever studied sales, you know that it's not what is said. You can memorize the script and be a horrible salesman. The great salesman is the person who knows how to say it, how to turn the conversation, all of those things. We're not salesmen. Okay? We're not salesmen. But in many respects, what we're doing is trying to be salesmen. That's not Christianity. Okay? We're not Mormons going door to door. We actually care about people. And if we are walking in the Spirit, you know what? Sharing the gospel is going to be something that just happens. The doors are going to be there. When you befriend the kid at school that's been picked on, and you begin to have lunch with them, you're going to find very quickly the conversations are going to open up. When you take that person who's an outcast at your work that everybody makes fun of and nobody wants to speak to, when you take them out to lunch a couple times, you know what's going to happen? They're going to open up. And the gospel opportunities are just going to be there. When you actually take that troubled kid into your home and actually begin to love them and befriend them, the gospel conversations are going to happen. When you actually befriend the couple that has marital problems, the door is going to open itself. If you are walking in the Spirit, and if you are overflowing with a love for God and a love for neighbor. We're going to look next week at Jesus turning the conversation and all the scenarios he does. But it's not a sales pitch. It's not when somebody says, man, my day stinks, then you say, oh, I can tell you how to make your day better. Okay? It's not, because that's sometimes the way we want it. We want it when somebody says A, you respond with B. If somebody says C, you respond with D. Don't respond with B if somebody says, that's the way we see it. And you know what? People see right through that. They do. Okay? Nobody wants to be the jewel in your crown. Okay? Nobody wants to be the notch in your belt. People want to be loved, and people want to know the love of God. It's really that simple. Jesus summarized all of his teachings as love God, love your neighbor. And if you love someone, then you will want to share with them the gospel, and it will come out of a place of love, not out of a place of duty. Right? People know when you're doing something because you have to, and they know when you're doing something because you want to. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. Have you ever experienced somebody that's doing it and you go, yep, they're doing this because their mom and dad told me to. And you see the little kid and the mom says, hey, go help them load their car. And they will go, is there any way I can help you? But that's many times the way we go to share the gospel. If you died, would you go to hell? You wouldn't? Okay, have a nice day. This is the way we come across. It really is. So to teach people how to turn the conversation to spiritual things, if you're not walking in the Spirit, it's a waste of time. You actually have to genuinely love people, genuinely care for them. Kathy?
I have a perfect example. I went to visit an 18-year-old woman, my high school student, in the hospital. She was in an accident this week. And it was bad. Broke her stem, her ribs. They're lucky she's not bad now. She'd have broken her back and had surgery or whatever. And what is this 18-year-old worried about? She said, is there any way I could go share? Now, the other two, the people that called the episode walked away. She says, is there any way I can find these people so I can go share with them and let them know? She's had surgery or whatever, and luckily she's okay. But she's not worried about herself. She's worried about the other people when she wants to share Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is an 18-year-old walking in the Spirit, making me feel very guilty. But I was just, I was amazed at just how sensitive and that we miss opportunities, like you're saying. They're realizing, you know, this is a good opportunity.
Yeah.
But I thought most 18-year-olds won't think twice about the other person.
Well, and in all honesty, this is what Wesley was saying with pride. One of the reasons we don't share the gospel is we might look bad. We don't want to be one of those crazy religious whack jobs.
Bible humpers.
Yeah, Bible humpers, yeah. Jenny?
I was super convicted. We have main kids over for the first time. Their mom and dad came over last night, which was awesome. We had a great time, but my thoughts were, we didn't talk about the gospel like at all, or I didn't. They may have all what was not in there. And I was like, God, why? And I probably spent 8 hours cooking and cleaning, but I'm like, did I even spend 10 minutes? I know I prayed about it, but probably less than 10 minutes. And I'm like, that's why. That's, you know.
Yeah. No, it really is. We are completely unprepared to share the gospel, and it's honestly, it's not a part of us. It's something that we think about from time to time. But if we're really going to share the gospel, it's got to be something that we're constantly looking that opportunity to. A couple of verses we'll close with real quick because we are really late. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Close with this, just a real quick thought. If you see somebody that's drunk, okay, they are 10 foot tall and bulletproof. They don't care what you think about them anymore. It loosens their tongue. They will spill the truth. I was watching a comedy sketch, and this lady said, "Ah, I was so drunk, I finally told the truth." Okay? And you know, that's what alcohol does. You know what the Spirit of God does? He gives you boldness. He enables you to tell the truth. And he makes it where you don't really care so much about what people think about you. Not because you're drunk, but because you actually care more about God and the person's soul than you do people's opinion. All right. Bryce, you want to close in prayer?